This podcast is a part of the Podmania Podcasting Network. Check out podmania.co.uk to check out more of our great podcasts, features, reviews, match ratings and previews spanning the crazy and diverse world of professional wrestling.
Welcome to another episode of Wrestling with Jonas. This is episode 142, and today is a special interview episode. I've got the breaker of next, the Annihilator. Anaya, how you doing? Great to have you on the Wrestling with Jonas podcast, my friend.
I'm great, man. I'm glad I'm here.
Yes, man, definitely. We had a few minor technical difficulties, didn't we? We are talking. So you're currently the Lucha Libre and Laughs heavyweight champion, the breaker of next. So how are you at the moment? I don't know what your situation is at the moment. Are you still in lockdown? Are there many things opening up? Are things getting back to normal where you are? Give us a bit of a rundown as far as your current situation and the whole lockdown situation with you at the moment then.
Yeah, so currently I live in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, and we are currently like on the verge of opening up. So like restaurants are starting to open up, and like we're getting kind of like the gyms finally opened up, which is amazing because I got to work out last week and it was
We were messaging, weren't we? You said during one of your our message chats that you were at the gym, and I was thinking, wow, the gyms in the UK aren't open yet, so that's pretty good. But that was your first outing back to a gym. Then I'm guessing that was pretty cool for you then.
Yes, very much. It was a rude awakening because I was very sore the next day.
Yeah, definitely.
The workout was very, very, very rough. No ring time either. So.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, when are the kind of wrestling training facilities going to open? Any news on that so far?
So they're starting to now, but there's still a lot of restrictions and things that we can't do still. So I'm surprised because we actually just announced that we're going to wrestle on the 17th of July,
right?
17th and 18th at the Oriental Theater. So hopefully that still goes down. You know, there's still a chance that we can get that shut down too. So
keeping
my fingers crossed.
Definitely. So. I bet you and the rest of the guys are really looking forward to hitting the ring again and getting the doors back open. But let's talk a little bit about your wrestling fandom then. Before you became a pro wrestler, when did you first come across pro wrestling as a fan? Was it have you been a lifelong fan? Was it from childhood? Did other friends and family members get you into it? When did it start for you?
Yeah, so started about like 5 or 6 years old. My older cousin was a big wrestling fan. He had like all the little rubber action figures.
Yes.
You remember the old rubber ones that had the hard head and the body was rubber? He had a bunch of those, and I remember he gave me Kane, Mr. Perfect, DX Billy Gunn, and a Bret Hart action figure. And like from there on, it was like wrestling everywhere, you know?
Yeah. And who were some of the characters that kind of jumped out with you? Who were some of your favorites when you were growing up?
Some of my favorites growing up, the obvious ones, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, The Rock. You know, like I was a big Shawn Michaels fan, big Stone Cold fan. Like still to this day, Shawn Michaels is still my favorite wrestler.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And as a kid growing up, was there much live wrestling going on where you were? Did you get a chance to get out and see much live wrestling as a fan?
You know, it's funny because Colorado really doesn't have like a wrestling scene. It's not really, it was never really part of the territories. You know, like Colorado was never, there was never a big market here for wrestling in Colorado until just recently coming up. Now, like, we've started to build this kind of, like, independent following. So, like, that's the only wrestling that I ever knew. I didn't even know it was here until 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, doing my research on you, I mean, there definitely does appear to be quite a strong wrestling scene in Colorado at the moment. And we're definitely going to talk about that. But am I right in thinking that you've been a pro wrestler for about 5 years now, Anaya?
Yeah, so in September, it'll be six.
Ah.
6 years in September.
Yeah. And how did you kind of first get into training to be a pro wrestler then? You've just mentioned that the Colorado wrestling scene wasn't that big up until recently. So how did you come across a training school? How did you kind of make them first steps to wanting to learn to be a pro wrestler then?
Yeah, so I originally found out about pro wrestling in Colorado was from my friend that I played football with at the time, actually.
Yeah.
He posted about what was Milestone 4. And I was like, I messaged him. I was like, what is this? Why are you doing this? Like, is this a thing in Colorado? I had no idea. And he was like, yeah, dude, it's a school. Come check it out. Come check out the show. And like from there on, it was a no-brainer. I laid down the cleats and picked up the boots.
Yeah, exactly. And looking at how far and how fast you progressed as a pro wrestler in your first 5 years, did you pick it up quite naturally when you started training? Were there aspects that you kind of found quite easy? And was there any aspects of the training that you found quite hard?
Yeah, so it was pretty natural. I would say that I was naturally gifted in the sense that, like, I knew how to fall already, kind of. So, like, the physicality part of it and the footwork of it and the natural flow of wrestling was already kind of, like, in my blood. So it was kind of just, like, a quick transition into wrestling from football.
Yeah.
I think one of the hardest things that was to – the hardest thing to pick up from wrestling was the psychology part of it, and which it's, like – a huge factor in wrestling, which is like almost a dead, it's almost a dead art right now, is the psychology part of wrestling. That's one big thing that we try to hone on here in Colorado, doing like wrestling training and stuff, is the psychology of actual pro wrestling. So
and having watched many of your matches, you definitely appear to have the psychology of pro wrestling down, and are very, very impressed with your work so far. But can you remember your first match then, Anaya? So how long was it into your training before you had your first match, and tell us about that first match?
I want to say it was like 2 months into my training. We had a pretty new set of guys coming up on the roster, so our school was kind of getting built, and there were a couple of us that were progressing a lot quicker than everybody else, so we were getting put on shows like right away because our kind of roster was dwindling as it was going along. And I feel like it was 2 months in. It was against Danger Dean, one of my best friends now. And he was going through a, at the time, he was in a storyline with one of our vampire wrestlers. And he was actually doing kind of a Lost Boys thing where he was transitioning into a vampire.
That's cool.
So it was kind of cool to like come into that storyline with Danger. I think he's 10 years at that time. He was a vet, so he walked me through the match, got me through. I was a nervous wreck, had no idea what I was doing. I just knew I was gonna do some moves and be a pro wrestler. It was awesome though.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to ask a different question there, but I'll stick to kind of that. How do you cope with the nerves nowadays? And because you said you was a nervous wreck for your first match, but do you still get nervous when you go out now? And do you have like a routine or a pre-match kind of ritual to calm them nerves down?
Yeah, so like for some reason, my nervousness has always been, it's more of an anxiousness rather than a nervous, you know what I mean? Like I'm more anxious to get out there. And then once I get out there, it's more of a just like, all right, here I am type thing. So my nerves never have, they've never really gotten like to me too much, because I kind of just hone them and use them as I go out those curtains, you know?
Yeah, totally. Am I right in thinking that a lot at the beginning of your career, a lot of your matches were tag matches with the Left Coast Gorilla and with Hoodlum? So you still tag with Hoodlum now, don't you, as part of the Left Coast Gorillas? And you know, so you mix it up with tag and singles action nowadays. But do you have any fond memories of kind of some of your matches with Hoodlum in the Left Coast Gorillas?
Oh man, we for a while there we were going on a hot streak. We were doing really good, and we did a few Future of Honor shows with Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I think we did like 3 or 4 matches with them, which was amazing. We got to wrestle in Vegas. We got to wrestle in Pennsylvania with them. I remember when the NWL started, we switched our gimmick over to the Howlets, which was pretty much the Left Coast Gorillas, just with a different name.
That's right.
And we had a lot of good matches with the Regal Twins, a lot of good matches with the Besties. Like we went up and down the Midwest kind of thing, and we had some really good matches. I can't even like put together a list because of how many fun matches we had.
Indeed. And you had some success as well. You won the Lucha Libre and Laughs tag team titles, the Rocky Mountain Pro tag team titles.
You had some
success with those promotions with your tag team partner. So were some pretty fun times there, definitely. And I was going to mention that you had a bit of a run there with Ring of Honor back in 2017. Any plans to kind of do any more matches under Ring of Honor, or was it just kind of like a one-time thing?
So we had our eyes set on Ring of Honor. When NWL came around, it was kind of like we were going to use NWL to kind of up our game a little bit. And then they ended up offering Hoodie a job editing video and stuff for him. So he actually moved to KC. And at the time, I kind of wasn't in a position to move. So I kind of missed the ball there, and it kind of just kind of, like, killed our whole momentum that we had going. And it was a kind of a hardship to do, because we were so hot. We were ready to go. Like, we were on the verge of like getting signed by Ring of Honor. I feel like in my opinion, we were pretty close, because I mean, we're getting pretty high regards from guys like the Briscoes and guys like Adam Cole were like backing us, Steve Corino, Kevin Kelly. Like, we were getting backed by a lot of dudes, and we had a chance to make it, and we kind of lost the ball there for a second. But hopefully, never say never.
Come
back together, we can get it back going. We're definitely going to continue tagging together. There's no way we can't, because of who we are and our chemistry together. We're just too good together to not.
Absolutely, yeah. Someone's got to run with you two, because, like I say, your gimmick together is so hot. But let's talk about one promotion that you're closely associated with, and that's the Rocky Mountain Pro in Denver, where you're from. You know, you've pretty much been there from day one, from the start of your career. You've had some great success with them as well. As I mentioned, former tag team champions with the Left Coast Gorillas, former four-time Charged champion. You were their first ever Charged champion, so that's fantastic. And a former Rocky Mountain Pro heavyweight champion, so lots to celebrate there. A promotion that's been pretty special for you, Anaya. Tell us about your journey with Rocky Mountain Pro and how you become one of the faces of the company.
Rocky Mountain Pro is the company that I started with when I originally started wrestling. It was Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy, which was run by Mercury Matt Yaden, and which was connected to what was then NRW, which was New Revolution Wrestling. Was our original name. And then when Vince Russo came around, we switched it to Rocky Mountain Pro. And then eventually they switched it to the Rocky Mountain Pro Academy also.
Yeah.
So I've been with that company for pretty much my whole career. Brought me up. I learned a lot from Matt. I learned a lot from Hoodie, obviously, and guys like Sammy Six Guns, who's Dak Draper now. So yeah, Rocky Mountain Pro has a pretty big place in my heart right now.
Yeah, definitely. And I've got a listener question now from one of our followers called Kurt Johansson, and he asks about Rocky Mountain Pro, the Charged TV show, and he asks what it's like to work with Matt Yaden and Vince Russo, and what was your experience of kind of working alongside Vince Russo, you know, as a professional?
There were good times and there were bad times. Right when Vince Russo came in, we were kind of getting hot, and he really helped us develop our character. Like I give him no crap for that. Like he really got behind the gorillas and helped us develop kind of our persona that we have now, and really helped open our eyes to what we can do as a team. There towards the end, it kind of got more or less creatively we were butting heads.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect the guy as a person. I'll never disrespect it or like disrespect or hate anyone because of wrestling or anything like that, but
some creative differences got in the way.
We were butting heads. There were things that were happening that a lot of guys on the roster weren't happy with, and it was a struggle. You know, it was a power struggle. So
Now, as part of my research, Anaya, I found out that you were a trainer or the head trainer of their training academy there. Are you still a trainer there? Do you still work with the recruits there?
Right now I'm not currently with them. I decided as a wrestler myself that I was going to step away from there because, a lot of my focus was on the school and was on that part, that wrestling promotion.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of last year, of course, when Hoodie moved to KC, or 2 years ago when Hoodie moved to KC, I kind of had to, revamp my own character and figure out who I was. So I'm still in this like building this Anaya character for myself, just so that I can have a singles run while I'm not tagging with him. So I chose to step away from that company. No harm, no false words, anything like that.
These things happen.
I trained a lot of the guys there that are doing it now, and it'll always be the best wrestling academy in Colorado.
Yeah,
so if you're looking to learn how to wrestle and you're in Colorado, then the Rocky Mountain Pro Academy is where you need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you did have quite a few top professionals that kind of went through and did seminars at Rocky Mountain Pro, their academy there, such as Al Snow, Nick Aldis, Mickey James, Stevie Richards. How valuable an experience was it to have these pros come through and help out to do these seminars and kind of training sessions with you and some of the trainees there? Kind of what was that experience like?
So that was... The bringing in the professionals like that, like, was a huge part of Rocky Mountain Pro Academy at the time. It was, we were always trying to learn more and more as we go. And of course, like, all of the coaches were still learning as we're going along, because pro wrestling, of course, is always going to be this thing that you're never going to be perfect at. You're always going to be learning new things. Every seminar, there's a new thing that you can pick up from somebody else that does something different. And we always tell our guys that wrestling's like ice cream. I don't know if there's Baskin Robbins in the UK.
Oh yeah.
But so Baskin Robbins is a perfect example. There's 31 flavors of ice cream.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's all ice cream.
Yeah.
Or whatever the flavor you pick is not going to change the fact that it's still ice cream. It's all pro wrestling, whether it's comedy, serious, you know, high flying. It's all pro wrestling at the end of the day. Yeah. How you develop your own character is how you develop your flavor of ice cream.
That's pretty cool. That's a great way of putting it, most definitely. Now, one talent that I believe still wrestles for Rocky Mountain Pro is Abaddon. Now, she's kind of started to grab a lot. Yes, Abaddon. She's grabbing quite a few people's attention. She appeared on AEW Dynamite last week and won her debut match. She's got a very unique look, a very unique gimmick, quite a scary gimmick, if I'm honest with you. But did you have a part in kind of training that individual? And how happy are you that she seems to be making it on more of a national level now?
Oh yeah, I had a part in training her in the ring. That character is that's all her. That's her. That's who she is. That's how she lives her life. I always have to tell her to not look at me when she's getting ready in the back because it's terrifying. She's back there putting her makeup on and I'm like, stay over there. But she's great. She's gonna continue doing great and she's gonna continue getting better. I mean, she's only, I think, 2 years in now, so she's got the rest of her career in front of her, and it's amazing. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah. And I must be honest with you, I've only just come across her, and my first glimpse was Dynamite last week, but I've kind of just been thinking about her quite a lot and doing a bit of research into her. But a fantastic character, great wrestler as well, and a very bright future. And now, Anaya, I just want to kind of touch on some of your moves and some of your move sets, if we can. You've got quite a varied kind of arsenal of moves. You kind of mix it up in the ring. You've got some moves like the Heisen Brothers Special, the Protection Neck, the Blue Sky Net Breaker, the Heisen Breaker, and your finisher, of course, the Devastating Annihilation. So a lot of your moves, of course, focus is on damaging your opponent's neck. Of course, you're the it goes with your nickname, the Breaker of Necks. But we've also seen you mix it up a little bit in the ring as well. You've done some suicide dives. You sometimes go from the top turnbuckle. Tell us about your ring style and some of your moves in particular and how you've kind of developed your ring style over the years.
Yeah, so I like to think of my style as kind of hybrid. You know, like I'm never going to only ground and pound somebody. There's every once in a while I'm going to do some... I'm an athlete, so I'm going to do some athletic shit every once in a while, but I don't have to, you know, like can I cuss?
Yes.
Okay. I could beat the shit out of you if I need to, or else I'll fly on you. Like that's kind of how I feel in my wrestling style. It's kind of a hybrid between like an old school, like ground and pound, heel heat type thing and a new fresh spot. Match, you know what I mean? Like I like to integrate the psychology and the high flying and the movements of all of wrestling. You know, I just love wrestling all together. So I try to put everything that I've learned into my matches as I go along.
Yeah. And I mean, you summed it up perfectly there. You do. You are like a hybrid wrestler. You do know how to mix it up in the ring. You can, you know, wrestle different styles of opponents and really kind of take it up a notch when you need to. But a lot of your moves kind of appear to have Heisen in front of it. You even call yourself the Heisen Brother. Are you a big Breaking Bad fan, I'm guessing?
I am very much a big Breaking Bad. My ring tone is actually the Breaking Bad theme song.
Awesome.
It was kind of just went together. I found the obviously I put the two together, the Breaking Bad and the Breaking Necks. So yes. I kind of started playing with that, and then some of my buddies started calling me the Heisen Brother, and then it just kind of got thrown around, and I started making logos and making this neck breaker persona, which is kind of cool because it was just kind of out of nowhere. And then I started developing the different kinds of neck breakers and Figuring out how I can do that Heisen Brother gimmick into all of my matches.
Yeah, most definitely.
I'm kind of in a middle ground too. Also, I'm trying to pull into this wild card thing and see how this kind of fills out with the Heisen Brother and see how I can turn myself into this wild card and not be too one narrow minded in my gimmick.
Our friends over at Hope Spot Clothing are offering listeners to the Wrestling Pajamas podcast 10% discount off of all of their t-shirts and merchandise. Simply use the code WWJPOD. That's WWJPOD. Hope Spot Clothing are a charity label with over 50% of all profits going to a variety of good causes. Go to their website www.hopespotcc.com. That's hopespotcc.com. And take advantage of their great discount now. So for any of my listeners that haven't come across you and they want to see more of Anaya, how would you describe your gimmick? How would you describe your character to somebody that's not kind of seen any of your work so far then, Anaya?
Yeah, well, I would describe it as, I'm a neck breaker, so you're going to see a bunch of neck breakers. I'm gonna beat the shit out of people because that's what I like to do. I like to get physical with people. You never really know what you're gonna get when I step into the ring, because I could be really angry and want to just inflict a lot of pain on somebody, and then I could be kind of casual and want to wrestle because I am also a technical wrestler also. So like just. I'm a wild card, man.
Definitely. And like I said, there's so much footage of you on YouTube. If anybody wants to check out any of Anaya's matches, I definitely recommend you do that. But can we talk a little bit about Lucha Libre and Laughs then? Because it's probably one of the most unique wrestling promotions, one of the most unique wrestling companies anywhere, whether it be the US, the UK. It's based in Denver, which is your hometown, of course. It's really unique. Now, some of the differences, now you could probably fill me in a bit more here, but it has live commentary that's played over the speakers as the matches are going on. You have live comedy between the matches. It's a very unique setting in the Oriental Theatre, which really adds to the overall presentation of the product. Its vibe is very different to any other promotion that I'm aware of. You obviously love working for the company, and it is so different, isn't it? It is so unique. But what more can you tell me about Lucha Libre and Laughs as a company, and why you love it so much?
Yeah, so actually, as you said, the commentary is actually those guys are comedians.
Yes.
So it goes wrestling, stand up. After the stand-up comic does their stand-up, they go down and sit with our other two comics, and they kind of do stand-up while we're wrestling. They play off of what we're doing, which actually gives us a lot of freedom to kind of express our comedy side of wrestling, too, which is pretty fun. Guys like Kikitaro, you heard of Kikitaro from Japan?
Yeah.
Guys like him come to Denver and kill it, because the Triple L is the perfect place for them. It's a comedy fan base. It's a weird wrestling fan base because they're not there to see wrestling. They know that they're there to see wrestling. They're not quite sure what they're getting ready to see. And most of them are just there to have a good time, and they end up having a great time and coming back, because it's such a fun atmosphere. Every time you're there, like, you're immediately like this, you're hooked on, because you're just, you continue to laugh, and then, somebody comes out and pisses you off. And then there's so much to do with that comedy side of wrestling. It's awesome.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there, that the commentators, I think it's Nathan Lund and Sam Talent. Talent.
My boys.
Yeah, but I mean, can it ever get distracting for you while you're in the throes of a wrestling match, having kind of not only the commentary over the speakers, but kind of the comedy over the speakers that are kind of almost taking the piss out of what's going on in the ring almost, because I've heard some of the matches and they are, like I say, they're putting the guys over, but sometimes they can say things that might be distracting. Do you ever get distracted by any of the commentary?
It's funny that you say that, because when we're in the ring, unless we're not doing anything, I can never really hear anything they say. Like I have to watch the matches back in order to like hear the jokes. Cause when we're in there, like
you're in the zone.
If you're not focused on what we're doing, then you're focused on the wrong thing. So I'm rarely hearing it. Like every once in a while I'll hear a kicker there and like laugh about it, but like it's never really a problem. I can't really hear them too much.
That's good. I was going to ask if you ever corpsed in the ring over some of the lines, some of the comedy, but that you're obviously too focused when you're actually in the throes of a wrestling match.
When you're in it, you're in it. You're kind of focused on what's going on rather than the voices that you're hearing.
Definitely. Let's talk about some of the matches that you've had at Lucha Libre and Laughs, then, if we can. So you were the winner of the Candyman Memorial Tournament Cup in June 2018, and you defeated, I think he's a good friend of yours, Royce Isaacs, in the final. He's your man. But you went all the way in the tournament, and you beat Royce in the final. Tell us about that experience, because it was a one-night tournament, I understand, and then, of course, having to go against Royce in the final. We've had Royce on the podcast, so I know Royce very well, but what was that experience like?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I love Royce. Me and Royce, pretty much, we came up together in wrestling. Our wrestling careers kind of ran parallel to each other. I love stepping in the. I'll step into the ring with Royce any fucking day because I love him. But yeah, that I actually have the trophy right there. I just saw it. that tournament was a lot of fun. It was kind of a random tournament. I don't remember exactly how it came about, but. Yeah, they made me this trophy that I'm gonna get it.
Show it, yeah.
So the promoter of the company, who's a good friend of mine, made this trophy for me. So here's the trophy.
That's pretty neat.
And as a rib, they had it engraved with this. I don't know if you can read it.
Of course, who cares if Anaya has a title shot? He's the Jannetty. Yeah.
So the story behind this is I got really drunk one night and I tweeted this, or I Facebooked it or something, and it turned into a running gag in Colorado of that tweet. So I had no idea that was written on that until I got the trophy delivered to me into the ring. So that's just kind of the place that Triple L is. It's just a fun place to be all the time.
Absolutely. And another match, and it was a phenomenal match. One of my favorite matches that I've seen recently was a triple threat match between yourself, Keith Lee, the current NXT North American champion, Mike Sydal, a fantastic match. I got to ask you first of all, what was it like to be in there with the Limitless One? Because I don't know if you've ever wrestled Keith Lee before that match. I mean, besides the fact that it was a fantastic match, I mean, Keith Lee is a giant of a man. He's a bear. And you kind of took a few, there was an exchange between the two of you with knife edge chops that went on for a little while. He got you with the double handed kind of bear paw slap. That looked like it sucked. But what was it like to be in there with Mr. Lee?
Oh man, it was unreal. I actually met him when we were doing our ROH runs. He was actually doing some tag work there with I forgot his name. But he was actually doing tag work there, so we met there. But being in the ring was my first time being in the ring with him, and to see the athleticism and the strength of him was unreal. And I pretty much went into the match not knowing, but I knew that there was a big chance that he was going to end up in NXT. So in my head, I went into this match like, I'm gonna try to make Keith Lee look as amazing as he is, because he's amazing. Like, the things that we did in that match were just unreal. Like, even to me doing them, like, it was.
I mean, there was one sequence where for a good minute or so, you and him were kind of doing all this athletic maneuver. I mean, it was like watching Will Ospreay and Ricochet, but you got yourself, you're what, 250 pounds, he's 350 pounds, and you two look like some cruiserweights diving around the ring there. It was pretty special.
And that was so much fun. I mean, like the athleticism of the man is just unreal compared to his size. And I like to think that I'm pretty athletic, but man, he was just another kind of athlete in there.
Yeah. And not forgetting Mike Sadel, you know, he did very well. He was a great opponent, and he was fantastic. And he ended up winning the match with a yoga mat assisted moonsault, which is quite unique. You don't often see that, but there we go. After many unsuccessful attempts, you finally managed to win your first Triple L Heavyweight Championship. You defeated, was it Caleb Crush, Darren Corbin, and Lonnie Valdez last September. So congratulations on that. And you're still the champion, so that's fantastic. But how was that feeling of winning the championship and after a number of unsuccessful attempts? Because I think you had a good handful of chances before you finally picked up the championship. You won in very, in excellent fashion by winning a four-way match. So tell us about how proud you are to be the Triple L champion.
I am extremely proud to be the Triple L champion. The fact that I was given this championship to, like, hold this company in my hands was just the biggest thing that can come to my Colorado wrestling career, because, like, In my head, Triple L is the best Colorado wrestling promotion. It's the place to be. I mean, we were before the virus, we were selling the place out 500 every month. Like, it's just an amazing promotion. And I think it was awesome because of the amount of times that I continued to just get this close to winning the title.
Yeah.
For almost a year, I was every single time about to win the title. And then Sydal obviously would always, you know, yoga his fucking way out of it. Like, you know, the build up to that match, I cut a promo before that match knowing that I was going to put myself, because this, the trophy was actually to get a title shot. So I was using that as it was just a big, like, big story, like a year long storyline of me chasing Sydal and then finally ending up getting the title with the fatal four way, which was just an amazing night. Like, the crowd was hot as hell the whole night, and it was just an amazing feeling. Like,
yeah, and it was an incredible match. And I think that the setting, the Oriental Theatre, really kind of adds something to the matches as well, because quite often the matches go to the outside and they fight around the fans, and it's got various levels. It's got balconies and it's got lower bits and higher bits. And, you know, it's kind of almost like an obstacle course that you're fighting around within the Oriental Theatre. So it kind of adds to the matches, I feel. But let's talk about some more Triple L talent then. I mean, for any of my listeners that aren't familiar with Lucha Libre and Laughs, are there any more kind of roster members on Triple L that you think, you know, really deserve a shout out on this podcast and could be, you know, making it big in the next few years?
One of my friends, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Big Filt Dog Filter. Right. He's about 6'5", 6'6", something like that. Big old asshole. He deserves a shout out. I mean, there's a couple of the guys coming up right now that are going to be on the show. Lipto, he's a luchador. He kind of does like a Chicano luchador gimmick. Obviously, Caleb Crush is always going to be up there with the top Lucha Libre Laughs people.
Yeah.
One person that I'd hope to see more of, kind of, is Lynn Parker. He's a I don't know if you have you seen any of Lynn. I think we had a fatal four-way with me, Lynn, Lonnie Valdez, and Andrew Matthews a couple. I think it was last year, and he's just a phenomenal athlete too. He's really good to be in the ring with. Lonnie, obviously, he's a big staple of Triple L too. There's just Seidel. Like Seidel is always going to be up there with Triple L.
Yeah, a very talented roster, and lots of really cool talent to keep your eye on, definitely. But I think this was possibly your last match before the whole pandemic and the lockdown. But it was your first ever Triple L title defense against NXT wrestler Shotzi Blackheart. So. Yeah. I saw that match through a couple of times because I absolutely loved it. It was an excellent match. The two of you kind of really mixed it up. As I said earlier, all around the Oriental Theatre, you really kind of mixed it up around the whole venue. You did manage to win. You retained your championship with your finisher, the Annihilation. But that was a really tough match. She kind of put you through your paces, Anaya. But a massive show of respect between the two of you after the match. I think that was just before she signed with WWE as well, to be honest with you. I think that was just before. But
that was her last weekend of wrestling.
Tell us about that match, because she's a hell of a talent. And I know that you're not averse to doing intergender matches. You've got an intergender tag team partner. But wrestling Shotzi, that was quite an experience and a hell of a match.
Yeah. Shotzi was actually one of my first big intergender matches. I haven't really mixed it up too much other than the tag matches. I haven't really mixed it up too much with single one-on-one competitions with women. But no, she gave it to me just like she said she was. That the who's your daddy thing is not a joke. she took it to me, and I think we just had we just went out there and had a good time and had a lot of chemistry when we locked it up, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And that match is also on YouTube if any of my listeners want to go and check that out. But it's a fantastic match. It really, really is. But I've got another listener question then, Anaya, from Get Cho Comedy Wrestling Podcast. Now, I think they're based out of Chicago, Illinois. They also mentioned your match with Shotzi and said that it was an awesome match. But they do ask a couple of questions, actually. They said, what's the best restaurant in Denver?
The best restaurant in Denver. There's a couple. I have been going to this restaurant. It's called Westies. It's over off of it's about 72nd and Federal here in Denver. It's called Westies, and I've been going there since I was about 5 years old. So it's always been one of my favorite restaurants there, and they have this it's called the Mexican steak, so it has a bunch of chunks of steak, and it's covered in green chili with hash brown and eggs. And I haven't gotten a different thing since I've been to that restaurant. It's just kind of one of our family restaurants that we've always gone to.
That sounds good. Hash brown and eggs. That sounds right up my street. Okay, but if ever I'm in Denver, I know where to go, definitely. They've got a second question, if that's okay, and they ask, how do you feel about Denver as a wrestling city compared to other cities you may have wrestled in?
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, Denver and the Colorado scene of wrestling really hasn't found its market yet. So, other than Triple L, it's kind of hard to pull a wrestling crowd out of places. Usually, it's bar crowds. Even Triple L is still a bar crowd. So it's kind of different in the sense that these people aren't here to watch wrestling. They're here to have a good time.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to change your style up a little bit to show them and kind of tell them a different story rather than a professional wrestling story. You got to give them an entertainment story, show them what's happening and why it's happening. Which is kind of really helpful to us because it kind of develops a different style, Colorado kind of has developed its own style of wrestling because of our bar scene rather than our actual wrestling scene.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And I've got something from Mr. Royce Isaac here. So I reached out to Royce, having had him on the podcast before. Now, he says he hasn't got a question, but he says, mention this is Milestone 7. So what does Milestone 7 mean?
Oh, yeah.
He said there's some a funny story behind that.
We run these streets. Yeah, so... we wrestled, obviously, Milestone 7, we wrestled each other, and it was kind of his, he knew he was going to be on his way out, so it was kind of his last hoorah at Rocky Mountain Pro also, and there were a couple of things that happened in that match. I think he gave me a shoulder tackle or like a leg sweep or something, and he just, at the top of his lungs, like, slapped his chest and said that, and he screamed it, this is Milestone 7. And it was just kind of like one of those, like, like, real hyped about nothing. It was awesome. And then I think another one of the quotes that he was doing during that match was, he's like, I run these streets. And we were like trying, because we're such good friends, and they're... We're pretty much like, it's just another night if we're wrestling each other, you know, like that's the kind of chemistry we had with each other, is we could just go out there and just have fun and not have to like worry about the other person or worry about ourselves. We could just have fun and be boys out there when we're wrestling.
Yeah, and Royce is doing some fantastic things in NWA Power, so all, you know, fantastic, and we've had Royce on the podcast and he was a fantastic guest. Final question for me then, Anaya, if we can. So what's the ultimate goal for the Breaker of Necks? So I know that the world's in a bit of a funny situation, and you did say that Triple L are kind of opening their doors again in July, but thinking ahead the next 2 or 3 years, kind of any promotions you'd like to wrestle for, any countries you'd like to wrestle in, what was kind of the ultimate goal for you?
You know, the ultimate goal is to make this my career. I just want to wrestle. Like not wrestling is not good for me. I don't like not wrestling. Wrestling is in my blood. It's what I like to do. And like, I have no set in stone place that I would rather be. Wherever they let me wrestle, I'll wrestle. And that's kind of how I'm going about it right now. I'm currently in a situation where I might be able to move out of Colorado, which is always a big help for wrestlers when they move out. They tend to like break out of that Colorado scene, because like I said, the Colorado scene is very closed door. No. Big wrestling scene here in Colorado. So I'm trying to break out. I may be moving to KC. I may not be, but I'm trying to get out there, maybe in the higher Midwest area. More of the actual Midwest territory is what I'm kind of thinking about. So there's a lot of time still. I feel like I still have a lot of time on the belt. So
most definitely.
Also, I'm still, every time I think about it, I'm still only 6 years into my wrestling career, and things that I've done already has been unreal. I mean, I've wrestled at like most of the top venues in Colorado. I mean, I main evented the Pepsi Center at one time. I've wrestled at all of the museums in Colorado. I've wrestled at like every taco festival there is known to man in Colorado. So I kind of feel like I've kind of left my mark here in Colorado, and I'm ready to move on to the next step in my career.
You ready to spread your wings?
Yes.
And we'd love to get you over here in the UK as well. One day you'd have to come over here. I'm sure there'll be quite a few promotions that would love to get an eye out over into the UK so that he can show the UK fans what he's capable of. But Anaya, it's been wonderful speaking to you. I really, really have had some great fun kind of talking to you on the Wrestling with Jonna's podcast. But before we let you go, it's an opportunity now for you to give my listeners your plugs, where they can find you on social media, your Twitter, your Instagram, your Facebook, and any merch as well, where we can get hold of some Anaya merch. But the floor is yours, my friend.
My YouTube page is Annihilation56. It's spelled Anaya, so A-N-A-Y-A Lation. So Annihilation56 is my YouTube page. It's also my Facebook page and my Instagram page. So all three of those are the same. My Twitter, actually, they actually suspended my Twitter. So my new Twitter is at Breaker of Necks. That's where you can find me on Twitter. Not all of my merch, but a lot of my merch is on Pro Wrestling Tees at Breaker of Necks also. So if you search Anaya Breaker of Necks on Pro Wrestling Tees, that's where you can find all your Anaya merch. And those are actually the shirts that are on that page are actually exclusive to that page. Those haven't been sold anywhere else. So
superb.
Pro Wrestling Tees are exclusive to that.
No problem. And what we'll do, Anaya, is we'll make sure that every single link that you've just mentioned are added to the description of this podcast. Yes. So whether you're watching this on YouTube or listen to it via audio podcast, click into the description. You can see all the links there and go and say hi to Anaya. Find out more about Anaya. Buy some merch. Buy some merch as well. Buy some merch. But Anaya, it's been fantastic speaking to you. Thank you so much for being on the Wrestling with Jonna's podcast.
Thank you very much. I love your shirt, by the way. I didn't say it earlier.
Nature Boy Ric Flair, yes. One of my all-time favorites. There we go. So please keep it tuned to the Wrestling with Jonna's podcast. And if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please don't forget to spread the word. Tell your friends and tell your family. Don't forget to press that ever-important subscribe button so you're notified every time a new episode drops. Once again, thank you very much to the excellent Annihilator, Anaya, the Breaker of Necks. And thank you, my friend. I've really had so much fun speaking to you. And to all of my listeners, have a great week. We'll catch up with you all again soon.